Howdy, folks. Doug McBurney here. The Bob Enyart Live Telethon is on again. We need $30,000 to keep Bob Enyart broadcasting for another year, so I'm asking you to help us. Give us a call right now at 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-836-9278. Or go to the kgov.com website. Click on the store. Look at the subscriptions. Take a look at all the wonderful products. Sign up for a subscription to Bob's Bible Study, the sermons from Denver Bible Church, or the Best of Bob, and get a free Bob Enyart topical video as our gift to you. Donate $100 or more, get a free video. Donate $200 or sign up for two subscriptions and get two of Bob's topical videos free, our gift to you for helping Bob Enyart stay on the air for another year. We picked the shortest month of the year, February, so we're already running out of time. So pick up the phone now. Call 800-836-9278 or go to kgov.com to make a donation, purchase a product, or sign up for a subscription today.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and
Death Fest.
Is that a rock and roll concert type thing with Ozzy Osbourne?
Over at KOA Radio last hour, there was a Death Fest going on. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and Doug is here, so it must be Monday.
It's Monday. I'm so glad to be back. I missed you so much last week.
Well, you were busy making money.
Well,
but Doug, a lot of news. We got a lot of things to talk about.
There's a lot. There's
Antonin Scalia.
There's Antonin Scalia. That's big news. I was shocked. I was standing in a grocery line.
Yeah.
And I happened to just check news, and you could hear me gasp. Mm. I was that shocked. He seemed really healthy.
And so Antonin Scalia is dead.
Yeah.
And there are Christians, pro-lifers, who are celebrating his life, that he was a man of faith and righteousness.
Are you kidding me? Yes.
He was
all over the place.
I guess they never saw his pro-life profile.
Apparently not.
Because he was rather horrific.
Yes. I actually went back and read through the profile. We'll have to talk about that.
And then the Death Fest over at KOA Radio, the Colorado legislature has introduced an assisted suicide bill.
Okay.
And they're just so ecstatic about, you know, this opportunity to put into law that it'd be legal to decriminalize doctors helping to kill their patients.
Wow. So, and this is the conservative afternoon host at KOA was just ecstatic.
Mandy,
what's her name?
She is a paragon of moral virtue.
Oh, of course.
She worked for Howard Stern for a while.
Quite the pedigree.
So she has great respect for women.
Yes.
Especially.
Very
being a woman herself.
Yes.
Allegedly.
So I've heard.
Nowadays.
Not necessarily a talk show host, but definitely a woman.
Celebrate. She is. It's a death fest over there. And I thought about this film. They should really use this film in their campaign to pass this legislation. It's a doctor who did everything he can to try to cure his wife, and he couldn't.
Really?
And she was suffering so terribly. So because he loved her, then he euthanized her.
Oh.
And she wanted him to.
Really? There's a movie like this?
Well, it premiered in Rome and Berlin.
Oh.
During World War II. It was produced by the Nazis,
by the Germans.
Uh-huh. And so this parade of the compassion that we have, we're so loving and caring and thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
We care so much about other people that we want to make it legal to kill them, whereas suicide is inherently destabilizing. When society removes the stigma, more and more teenagers who are suffering, because, you know, somebody who's 78 years old and they're suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are suffering.
They're suffering, yes.
But no matter what their suffering is like, it's not as bad as a 15-year-old girl whose boyfriend just left her for her best friend.
Ah, yeah.
That suffering is far greater than any tumor could ever produce in any human being.
Of course. At 15 years old, and you're not really able to deal with it as well as a 78-year-old with a tumor.
Plus, Mandy Connell would, and, you know, the culture at large, affirms children I'll take it back about Mindy Connell because I don't know. She has a kid, daughter, I think.
Is that right?
So maybe she's rethought the Howard Stern positioning a women to be nothing but filth in the gutter, to make fun of, to mock.
Well, we know
to
she
sexualize
advocated
at every turn
when she worked for Howard. But maybe she's rethought.
But so the culture that affirms children having sex, which then devastates them emotionally and physically.
Right.
And then, so then that bond that should last for a lifetime, it turns out it only lasts for 4.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And then the young teenage girl is devastated. And so when society loses the stigma against killing yourself, that just becomes more socially acceptable. Mm. And teenagers kill themselves. And the more society defends this solution to pain, the more criminals will use it, and kids will use it, and you'll have murder-suicides. And that's what's been happening for now years, where we've been defending suicide. We see the crisis.
Yeah.
And it's not just in Islamic suicide bombers and Japanese kamikazes and so on. It's just destabilizing. It's horrific.
Murder-suicide is daily life in every metropolitan city in America.
Yeah.
Every
day. It's the Judas policy.
Yeah.
It's the Judas policy. Judas, who betrayed Jesus Christ.
Became a murderer.
And then killed himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So it's devastating. But our society has lost any semblance of morality and a moral foundation. We're just animals, they think.
Yeah.
So you behave like animals.
Hence, Mandy Connell pawns herself off as some kind of conservative talk show host.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, conservative just ain't what it used to be. That's all.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, listen to this. Hold on.
Well, if you want low taxes so you have more money.
Like Mike Murdoch.
They think that's sufficient.
Mike Murdoch, who allegedly, according to the news, Mike Murdoch is a prominent Texas televangelist. Mike Murdoch.
Yeah. Trey Smith
grew
up in his home.
That's how I heard of this guy.
Wrote the account of his growing up in Mike Murdoch's home and stealing Mike's safe.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very interesting story. Anyway, I had not heard of Mike Murdoch before I met Trey, but now Mike Murdoch, prominent evangelical, has endorsed Donald Trump for president because he says he can restore us economically, says
This is not Mike. The weekend of the mics because Mike Huckabee also.
Get out.
Huckabee.
No.
Has endorsed.
Nah. No.
Child killer.
Hold on. You're
making Donald Trump.
Are you trying to trick me?
And so, no. You're looking at you're good. Thank you, Doug, for checking.
I find that very hard to believe.
We need to fact check one another. But Huckabee now has endorsed Donald Trump. Hey, this is Bob, and you're interrupting my own show. Update, Mike Huckabee has not endorsed Donald Trump. We'll see what he does tomorrow. Mike Murdoch, who is, you know, televangelists, generally speaking, are about as slimy as they come.
Sleazy, low-life charlatans.
But he sells miracles, exploits desperate women, just like the whole pro-suicide thing does. And they're saying, you know, you need to give your consent. And no one would ever be euthanized without their consent. And I was thinking about Dylan Walborn at Children's Hospital. They advised his parents to kill Dylan when he was 4 years old. I don't think Dylan gave his consent. And the Denver Post celebrated it. So DylanWalborn.com, you could read all about it.
Yeah. All right.
And speaking of Dylan, there's a Klebold who's been in the news.
Oh, that woman has no shame.
Because,
I can't believe her.
So, Doug, she said she missed the warning signs, but they didn't miss the warning sign. They were in the English teacher's class when Dylan Walborn wrote this paper about bringing a duffel bag and killing off the college prep students.
Klebold, yes.
Klebold, what did I say?
You said Dylan Walborn.
Oh,
anyway.
Sorry, Dylan Klebold.
Dylan Klebold. Right.
Thank you. Dylan Klebold. And so that's not, so there's the warning sign, but they just ignored it.
They may she
not. She didn't realize it was so bad.
She may not have been equipped to recognize it, though.
Well, how could that be?
Because she's a.
I mean, that means
godless heathen.
That means you're a bad parent.
Miseducated in the government school systems herself. Miseducated by the pop culture herself.
Right.
Not that that's an excuse, but I could see how she could miss that because she was
A bad parent.
A very bad mother. Who should be ashamed and never want to show her face in public.
If video games are raising your kids, and so they asked Dylan about the paper, and he said he didn't have it, and she said that was the end of it. So your kid writes a paper, turns it into school about killing his classmates.
Yeah.
And it's not important enough to follow up. So you are a bad parent.
Yes, by definition.
So, but she did say she's, you know, ashamed, and that's valid. And she could be forgiven by God, but no indication that she's turned to Jesus Christ for salvation.
No, I listened to the interview. There was no mention of God or the afterlife or anything like that. She may have said, oh, my God, at some point in the interview. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But she did not. And the fact that she's doing a television interview and writing a book indicates to me that she's not that ashamed.
Well,
she's not. Well, not that ashamed.
She wants to help other parents. And to help other parents, you have to acknowledge when you're a bad parent and your child, it turned out like hers did, that, you know, I was a bad parent. Don't be a bad parent like me.
Yeah.
And when they... I mean, you let your kids be raised by video games, which is part of what happened.
Yes.
That's just a symptom.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one example out of then there has to be 100 of what bad parenting is all about. So she could have written a book about being a bad parent. Here's what we did.
Yeah.
The Harris and mm-hmm. Klebold families. Here's what we did. Please don't do what we did. Not just one instance.
No.
Of not following up on one instance.
No. I could not believe she would show her face in public. I was shocked. Anyway, just disgusting. Yeah. Disgusting. Mike Huckabee says no. He has not endorsed Donald Trump.
Come on.
He says no. He says no.
So I was...
He almost did, and
I was taken by a false report.
He keeps appearing
with
him.
And then I repeated a false report.
He keeps appearing
Doug,
with him.
Doug, thank you for correcting the record before we even got off the air.
Well, I don't know about that yet because I'm still scrolling through. Okay, as of February 1st, which is the closest I can get here, he says, no, he says, I haven't endorsed anyone. But that was before he dropped out February 1st.
No.
Anyway.
Okay, I still stand by my...
Let's leave it aside. I'm not able to Google fast enough. But you're much better at things like that than I am.
Well,
let's talk about Justice Scalia and the obvious question that's on everyone's mind.
Where is he?
Justice Scalia?
Where is he?
Maybe he's in Fort Marcy Park. The question is, where was Hillary this weekend? Can we check the metadata on her phone or maybe check her emails?
Well,
find out what she was up to?
So Scalia, she's got bigger things on her mind.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Than Antonin Scalia. So Scalia was asked at Pepperdine University. They've got a law school there at Malibu.
Indeed.
Somewhat prestigious.
Somewhat, yes.
Yeah. They had prestige until I spoke there last summer.
Formerly prestigious law school.
But he was asked because he said the job of the judge is to uphold the law. And your morality, your own views, don't enter into it.
Huh?
And like even thou shalt not murder, which he referred to indirectly in that talk.
Yeah.
And thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. They don't enter into it.
Well, wait a minute, though. Those aren't
my personal beliefs.
Those are.
And so he was asked then, well, what if you were a judge, but this by a law student in the Q&A session. And he was at, and we got this account from, well, let me tell you what happened first.
This is Pepperdine University.
And then I'll tell you where.
Antonin Scalia taking questions from law students.
Yeah.
And he's asked.
Yeah. So
really?
I'll finish the story. Then I'll tell you where we got the account from.
All right.
And he was asked, well, what if you were a judge in Germany? And his response was, well, then, I guess I would have been prosecuted at Nuremberg.
What? Antonin Scalia said that?
Yeah, and that's true. And we got that account from a longtime staff attorney for Focus on the Family. This is James Odom, by the way. And it's interesting because we were trying to have a dialogue with Focus on the Family. It went a little bit of a distance, but then it was a dead end. And Dr. Dobson was defending federal judges in this country who were upholding late-term abortion, keeping it legal. And Dobson wrote us a letter and said, it's in our Focus on the Strategy documentary right at our YouTube channel, right on the front of our YouTube channel, the Personhood playlist. It's right there. Focus on the Strategy. You'll see the letter. You'll see Dr. Dobson's signature. It's on letterhead. He signed it.
Wow.
And he defended the judges who kept late-term abortion legal because he said, you have to understand they're doing their job. They're following the law. They're following precedent.
Mm. Yes, yes.
Stare decisis.
You're supposed to say that like stare decisis.
Yes.
Because it's so.
And so this is exactly the defense of the Nazi judges at Nuremberg. Mm. After World War II, they said we were just following the law.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing what we were supposed to be doing. So Scalia is basically saying, if I was born in Germany under National Socialism and I was a judge, I would have upheld those laws. And then when the Allies won, I would have been a defendant at Nuremberg.
Wow.
And he would have been convicted.
And this is the most conservative justice we've been able to produce in the last 30 years.
The one who's considered to be pro-life. Even though he rejects that the child has a right to life.
Well, obviously
he rejects that.
If you read Gonzalez v. Carhart,
so,
it's obvious he rejects that.
Yeah, he claims that most rights are created by popular vote. That's Scalia.
Yeah.
That the constitutional equal protection and due process clauses do not apply to an unborn child. He says he will strike down, he will strike down any law that prohibits abortion nationwide.
Antonin Scalia said this.
Yeah.
That's not Elena Kagan.
Yep. Well,
That's not Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, now you're talking about his close friends.
Oh, listen to this. First of all, let me ask you, Bob. How many full-throated abortionist froth-at-the-mouth feminists have you gone on vacation with, so let's say, in the last 5 years?
Well, one, two... No, none, obviously.
Well,
but
Antonin
he was close friends with these.
He went on vacation. Their families vacationed together, Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, and Doug, worse than, you know, being close with a rabid child killer.
Yeah.
Worse than that is lobbying the Obama administration to put Elena Kagan on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Which they did.
Now, that was another one I had to check. I did not believe that, but it's true. He called Axelrod and said, please send us Elena Kagan.
Yeah. Now, at the time, they decided to nominate a Republican justice, Sonia Sotomayor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well, I say she was Republican because George H.W. Bush had put her on the federal bench.
He did. And
he nominated her.
Him being a
to the federal judiciary.
Right.
And so then Obama gave her a promotion to the Supreme Court.
That's right.
From the federal bench up to the top.
This is Sotomayor.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
But Scalia, having lobbied the Obama administration to nominate Elena Kagan, you know, they did.
It didn't hurt her chances at getting a shot at the gig, right?
It did.
And then
they
did nominate her.
And she was confirmed.
She sits on the court right now. And
yes.
Antonin Scalia wrote an... Did he ride an elephant with her? No, I'm sorry. He rode an elephant with Ginsburg. He went duck hunting with Elena Kagan. He went duck. How many froth-at-the-mouth feminist feminazis?
So if you deny that the baby has a right to life.
Yeah.
And if you laugh and joke about it in front of college students.
Right.
Saying, well, you know, I sort of feel like Solomon when he said split the baby.
Mm.
So maybe you got to split the baby here.
Unbelievable.
He's talking about abortion
policy.
And he said, if you want abortion to be legal, just convince your friends, pass a law. I'll uphold the law.
That Scalia said that.
Yeah.
That was that before or after he went duck hunting? Anyway, if you're a pro-abort, I can't go duck hunting with you. I can't go on vacation with you. In fact, I really can't be your friend.
Mm.
I'm willing to sit down and talk with you maybe once or twice or, you know, but I could not be your friend.
Well, it's rough, right? If you're in Germany and you've got a Nazi in your family who advocates killing Jews, then you act like everything is fine. It's rough.
Yeah, that's got to be just unbelievable.
But Scalia obviously would have gotten along great with everyone.
All the
Germany.
Yeah, he would have gotten along fine with the justices on Hitler's court, in Hitler's court.
And with Dred Scott, that blacks are property. And just because Dred Scott was taken to a free state, how dare he try to say he's a free human being?
It was because technically he was in violation of the law.
We're returning you to your owner.
Right.
To your slave master.
And that's what Scalia would have done. And
yeah.
Can you imagine what the day must be like for Scalia? Now, I'm not sure on the theology of this, but I would not have to want to explain the Gonzalez v. Carhart abortion manual that Scalia wrote. I would not want to have to explain that to God Judgment Day.
Kennedy wrote it, but Scalia...
Well, he signed off on it. They all had a part in it. Their signatures are all on it.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I would not want to have to explain that.
Yeah, that's the partial birth abortion opinion issued by the court, which Dr. Dobson, again, and so many Christian leaders celebrated.
Did you say opinion? You're supposed to call it the partial birth abortion ban, to be politically correct.
Well, it's not really a ban, because it says you could do a partial birth abortion in different circumstances. Like, for example, if the mother's over-dilated.
But there's been a memo sent out to all the conservative talk show hosts, Bob. You're still supposed to call it a ban.
The ban?
Yes, we are.
Okay, the PBA opinion issued by the court,
yeah,
and it literally says that there are ways that you can do this late-term abortion. You could dismember the baby, and it talks about
it's horrifying,
disarticulating, ripping the arms and legs off of the fetus, which might be more painful than a standard partial birth abortion, but you could do that. You can inject a drug, a poison, into the baby's into his heart, kill him that way. So there's all these ways you can kill the baby, but you can't do a partial birth abortion except under various circumstances.
Yeah.
And we're doing this to improve the image of the abortion industry.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it.
That's
what
they
say in the ruling.
Yeah. It's unbelievable
to Dobson celebrated it.
Yeah. And to this day, he must just refuse to read it. The people who still support it, they must just refuse.
Yeah.
They cover their ears and close their eyes and go, yeah, yeah, la, la.
So that attorney I mentioned, James Odom, who told us the account of what happened at Pepperdine.
Yeah, when Scalia said he would have been convicted at Nuremberg.
Yeah, tried at Nuremberg. He said, well, I guess I would have been prosecuted at Nuremberg and convicted.
Well, prosecuted.
Obviously, if you're upholding the Nazi laws.
Yeah.
Killing the Jews and all.
Unbelievable.
But that attorney was, to some degree, working with us because he recognized that Focus on the Family had become legal positivist and moral relativist, defending judges who write opinions to say, no, you could keep killing late-term babies by my authority. Here it is. That's the law, and that's what I am ordering.
And he was associated with Pepperdine at the time?
Well, no. He was a staff attorney for Focus on the Family. James Dobson hired James Odom personally.
Oh.
So, and he and his family moved to Colorado Springs from back east.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was, when they found out that he was talking to us about these concerns, they fired him.
That's what I was going to ask. How's that career of his going at Focus?
I think he's doing well.
He's probably
a beautiful family.
He's probably doing all right. Just not at Focus.
No, they moved back east.
Wow. Well, that's a very bold move for him to do. That's pretty bold.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that.
He did laugh at us, though.
He did.
Came to. They fired him. Yeah. Immediately, they escorted him out of the building.
Yeah.
Immediately, when they got we FedExed our letter to Dr. Dobson.
Yes, I recall.
And he brought it to his boss and said, Tom Minnery, and said, there are concerns in here that we need to discuss. There are some serious concerns in here. And Tom Minnery said, you're fired.
Give me your keys. Give me your
laptop. Security.
Get out of the building. Go
clear out your desk. Yeah. And they escorted him out the building. So he came to our next board meeting like 3 days later in Denver.
Yeah.
He was laughing at us because the table hardly fit in the room. We hardly could fit in our own board meeting.
Yeah.
And he said, you guys, you have no idea the turmoil you have brought on Focus on the Family.
From your tiny little office.
And you can't even fit like seven people around a table for your board meeting.
Ah, now that's a testimony.
But that was, James Odom. So yeah. We love that guy. Appreciate him.
Yes. Now, you had mentioned earlier the decline and fall of Western civilization that leads to children being encouraged to have sex and how destructive that is. I think we still sell a video. You know, the telethon is still going on. We're at about 4,000.
4,500.
4,500 for
James
the telethon.
From Westminster just gave $1,000.
Outstanding.
So our goal is $30,000.
Yeah.
And so often, I don't know why, but so often our listeners help out in the second half of the month.
Yes, because they like to tease us through the whole month and make us sweat. It's white knuckles.
I was thinking of a different T word. Torture.
Torture. Something like that.
No. If it wasn't for our listeners, Doug, we have no foundation behind us, no mega church. It's our listeners that have kept us on the air for now 25 years in May, our 25th anniversary on the air. So thank you guys so very much. And it's hard, you know, because the message isn't always exciting, like today's show.
Well, it's exciting. It's just sometimes it's a little bit depressing.
Well, yeah, we're going verse by verse through the book of Isaiah. We're in Isaiah chapter 43.
Oh, that book's a laugh a minute, Isaiah.
Denver Bible Church. And there are concerns, you know.
Yeah.
There are difficulties when you read the New Testament, the Old Testament. I mean, the world is in rebellion against God, and the religious leaders are often the primary problem.
Yeah.
That you're facing. It's often the religious leaders. I mean, if Germany would have had a church that was true to the Lord, that whole chapter, horror in human history, may never have happened.
A good, solid church in Germany, it couldn't have happened.
If the church nationwide had honored the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people who actually did something to fight the Nazis,
yeah,
they almost to a person, they were devastated that they did not do more.
Oh, of course.
The people who actually gave their lives, the people who actually did something, the people who really did almost nothing, they defend themselves that they couldn't have done any more. Yeah. They did as much as they could possibly do.
Yeah, right.
So that's a pattern. You notice people defending their group or their whatever.
Right.
And said, there's nothing more we possibly could have done.
Sure.
They're the ones who did virtually nothing.
Right.
And the people who actually risked even their lives, they were devastated that they didn't do more.
Right, yeah. And you can tell which story is true.
Yeah.
Because it has that flavor of
so who else? So truth. Trump has been endorsed by Mike Murdoch.
Mike Murdoch and Junior, and what's his name?
Doug, Trey Smith.
Jerry Falwell Jr.
Trey Smith, who wrote the book on Mike Murdoch.
Yeah.
Thief.
Yeah.
He and I made a video, Jurassic, on
dinosaurs. Oh, yeah, dinosaurs.
It's going really
well.
Call
and order Jurassic for the telethon.
Hey, God bless you guys.